live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 161. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. We are back, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, happy Earth Day, Brandon Reif, and welcome back from your vacation.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it is Earth Day. I picked up a water bottle that was laying in the yard today, so I did my part, I feel like. But, yeah, it feels good to be back from vacation. Nice little golf trip. Back in the saddle. Missed a lot while we were gone.
Yeah, just a little bit, man. Missed the Masters. Well, I know we watched it, but missed kind of talking about it. I know we're going to cover a little bit about the life and history that Slick Leonard brought to the state of Indiana a little bit tonight. If anybody doesn't know, Slick Leonard passed away last week. And I know we also got a whole bunch of other things we got to talk about, too. Still, even though we missed nothing, those two big impactful things, man. But so give us a rundown.
Yeah, the NBA, a little bit of the NBA landscape as we approach those final 15 to 16 games left in the league season, approaching the playoffs. We've got Indiana Pacers talk. Do we embrace the dive of the Indiana Pacers, or do we try to live on and fight another day to get this team back together? We'll talk about that and the seven or eight guys that they had playing last night when they got their win. Seven guys out. That's incredible. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Like I said, NBA, Indiana Pacers. We're going to have some NFL notes, NFL draft talk. The NFL draft is 1 week from tonight. So is the NFL draft. We've got some quick hitters to talk about, some stuff going on with college basketball recruiting, the transfer portal, good things, bad things of that. Some MLB, early MLB action, kind of what's going on there. My Reds continue to find myself and Coach Mike Flex, Cincinnati Reds, keep finding a way to drop these games in the ninth inning. It kills my bets. We've got a little bit of real quick to just kind of recap the Masters. We got the PGA Championship, the next major coming up closely. And then as well, not on the actual live radio show that's being on Facebook Live and on the Blog Talk Radio, but if you listen to the podcast version, which gives you incentive to go download and listen to it if you're not already, there will be a special interview on there tonight as well with the new IUPUI men's basketball coach, Matthew Crenshaw, who is a friend of the program. We've had him on before when he was an assistant at Ball State. It is going to be a great 20-minute interview. If you're listening to us live right now, it won't be there, but it will be on the podcast version that will be out tomorrow morning. Great interview, by the way.
Thanks, Brandon, man. Just want to touch on – I got to talk to Coach Matthew Crenshaw, like Brandon Reif alluded to. I got to talk to him a little early today. Man, he's expecting – he's got a lot of butterflies, a lot of excitement kind of going, returning back to – IUPUI, a program that he was assistant for a long time, and he actually played for back in the early 2000s when they were riding high with getting to the NCAA tournament and whatnot. So man, a lot of feel good feelings coming back to the program and trying to build it back up. He knows he's got some work to do. How about that? You know, he's got some work to do as far as getting the program going back to respectability and whatnot, but he's the right man for the job, and he's geeked about it, and all those positive things. Man, he's been received with open arms, man, and there's a lot of kinetic energy going on with the IUPUI program right now. He's got to get some folks in place, staff, and some players, man. And I think we'll hear some great things about IUPUI in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. John, let's dive right on in tonight. Happy Earth Day, everybody. We're going to dive right in with the Indiana Pacers. Do you want to go Slick first, or do you want to go Indiana Pacers? And I'll start the conversation.
Just because we wouldn't be a sports show if we didn't talk about Indiana sports show, for that, if we didn't talk a little bit about Slick Leonard. I don't want to bring up any – it was sad enough to hear about the passing of Slick Leonard. He's been battling. He's an older gentleman. He was older. He passed away at the age of 88. But like I feel like for the last few years, he's always been battling something. Health, you know what I'm saying, health issues or whatnot. But finally got a call to go home. You know what I'm saying, to go home, as the old folks used to say, down south or whatnot. But like, no, nah, man, I just want to touch base on him just a little bit, man. Slick Leonard, an Indiana legend, not necessarily for the Pacers. Obviously, he was a three-time ABA champion, head coach for them, but also, you know what I'm saying, had roots down in Bloomington as he played for the Hoosiers. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying, he's a name that's synonymous with Indiana hoops, whether it's professional or collegiate, man. And you know what I'm saying? It's kind of, I just want to kind of talk about, man. I don't really want to do a whole eulogy or whatnot. I know you probably got some thoughts that you want to share as well, but I really don't want to do a whole. There was greater people did better eulogies than I did for Slick Leonard last week, man. And like I said, man, all but most respect from me to him, and you know what I'm saying, condolences to his family.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess last Monday from you, I was out on the golf course. With our friend of the program, Reggie Sykes, who, by the way, before I go into Slick, Reggie Sykes believes that he is still the number one caller in Crossroads Sports Radio. I had to break the news to him that he lost that honor, that it is Scott now has become the number one caller for Crossroads Sports Radio. So he was a little sour about that, but I told him, hey, the only way to become number one again is to actually call in. So we'll see if Reggie Sykes comes in tonight for that honor. But I was out on the golf course with Reggie Sykes, the number two caller in Crossroads Sports Radio. Got the news from you, John. Like you said, he's had bad health conditions the last couple of years. He wasn't doing the radio as often as he previously was with Mark Boyle. Besides all the stuff we've already heard and talked about with what he's done with coaching and playing, the ABA Pacers, and then the telethon to keep the Pacers in Indianapolis, which led them to getting Market Square Arena, which then, you know, kind of helped with the sign and purchasing the Pacers. And then flipping over to the radio, John, and I'm 36 years old, and my memories of Slick is when he was in the radio podcast, and well, my favorite player of all time, Reggie Miller, the Boom Baby. You know, Boom Baby, how he'd always say it after every three-pointer. You know, another one I always liked was turn out the lights, the party's over, when he was singing. Or the Tony Brothers, Tony, pack your bags and get the hell out. That's still one of my favorites. You hear time to time still on 1070 The Fan coming back from an intro or from a commercial break there. Just great, his voice. He did so much for the Pacers, for the city, for the state of Indiana. It's sad, but like you said, he's up there now resting, and Slick's got that big basketball court. He's got the ultimate Boom Babies there. So sad to see, but you know, he's better off now. There, I do want to play a 54-second clip, John. As I was on my golf trip last week, tributes were flowing in all week. Reggie Miller did the game. The Lakers and the Celtics, I believe it was last Thursday night, the Lakers and Celtics, and he had a little moment about Slick himself, and I wanted to play that real quick for everybody. So,
Eric holding to Reggie for three.
Reggie, right in front of the Pacer bench.
Boom, baby!
That is the Pacers look to get back to the 500.
Boom, baby! Right off the key.
And Kevin, Slick Leonard is the single most important person in Indiana Pacers history. He saved the franchise. Think about this. The telethon in 1977 to raise money, or the franchise, the Pacers, were going to fold. I could easily talk about what a Hall of Fame coach he was, but Kevin, to me, he was a better friend, a husband to Nancy, and father to five children and 12 grandchildren. Rest in power, Slickster. Boom baby forever, Kevin.
Good stuff, Reg. The NBA family will miss him.
All right, so I thought it was a cool tribute by Reggie. He did have one on Twitter as well and Instagram, but I thought him kind of in the NBA taking notice to this thing and kind of broadcasted it and talking about it. So props to the NBA because, you know, a lot of the ABA stuff, they don't really it's kind of taken a backseat if you kind of look at it over the years.
Right.
I was a little upset that ESPN really did not talk about it much on their SportsCenter show or was not even shown on the website where the ticker is, where it kind of shows the top headlines. So that wasn't even on there. So a little shame for that, but Slickster, Boom Baby, and if we could somehow get that Boom Baby clip in our show the rest of the time, then I would not be upset about that. So, all right, let's go Indiana Pacers, John. Where do we want to start with this team? The Mr. Jekyll and Hyde team, the team that's playing a bunch of, at times, JV players. Recently, we had Miles Turner, who's out indefinitely right now with a partial tear of his plantar plate in his right toe. Obviously, yeah. We had Jay Warren out. Domantas Sabonis was out. We had Brogdon carrying the torch for a bit. Caris LeVert, the Holiday brothers. But O'Shea Brissett, 23.12 rebounds last night for the Pacers, went from a 10-day contract to a full contract, starting and not being the last one to get subbed out the other night, last night against Oklahoma City. Yes, everybody calm down. It's Oklahoma City. They are god-awful. But the Pacers have lost games, John, and we've talked about it all season. Fourth quarter comes around, and they just can't freaking cover the freaking game. They can't finish. The defense goes whoop-de-whoop. The team is 27-31. They're in ninth seed in the East right now. I don't mind embracing the dive. I have no problem embracing the dive because, and I mean, you kind of talked about it off air on Twitter. If what are you going to get out of this season? Nothing. There is nothing positive that you're going to get going into this little playoff thing to be maybe the eighth seed or maybe the seventh seed. You're going to get waxed because that's just the type of team you have right now based on injuries. Not saying they're a bad team overall, but with your injuries and the way things are right now with a first-year coach, is it really worth it going to a first-round series again for a seven seed or an eight seed? Or you know what? Let's take a chance in the NBA draft and just see if we can make a hit. Do the Pacers tank? No, they don't. It's a history of it. We don't tank. We're an average team, and you know we try to make the best with what we got. But the Colts tanked twice, and both the times the Colts hit gold when they tanked. Now, I'm not saying that both are the same, but maybe we take a chance because this season, this team, these players are not going anywhere.
I laugh when you say the Colts tank, man. We'll leave that for another time.
You don't think they did?
No. When I look at the Pacers, though, man, you still have a team that's competitive. For night after night. So when they had the afternoon matinee just a little about a week ago against Utah, they were up 17 points on Utah. That unfortunately dwindled to seven down by the halftime. So it's not the pieces. So you can say the pieces don't fit or the team doesn't play consistent enough defense, and they have gotten better at playing defense, believe it or not. For this NBA level of standards, I just put it like that. There ain't no Gary Paytons out here on nobody's team. You know what I mean? But like no man, they have these fourth quarter meltdowns, man. And quite honestly, Brandon, that kind of speaks to the coach. I get a big sigh, right? So I'm not ready to implode it either during the off season. I think there will be.
I'm not saying implode.
Well, here's the thing. You talk when folks talk about tanks. So let me clue some folks
about
tanking.
That's what I'm talking about.
We talk about tanking. You talking about getting to the lottery? Unless you got the first five picks, you know what I'm saying? And I would say even the first four. The first four are going to be special guys in the next 3 years. Everybody else you can either get or you already have on some level on your team or in free agency. You just do. All these guys who ain't going to who ain't transferring from team to team in college, all these guys who think they got a shot at making somebody's NBA roster are either A, G leaguers at best, who still got a couple years away to be making an NBA roster or impact on a squad, or they're not going to, or they're going to get, you know what I'm saying, some bad news when they get their NBA evaluation. You know what I'm saying? So, So, case in point, this not to pick on him, but we're going to pick on him. You know, Trevion Williams down in Purdue. You know what I'm saying? He's all second team, I do believe, Big Ten guy. I know he's second team last year. I don't know about this year. I think he made all second team this year. But look, if anybody would pull up his free throw percentage or if you look at him defending one-on-one in space, he's not a great defender. And he's a good rebounder, but he doesn't block shots at a great clip. So somehow, some way, he's usurped listening to Matt Painter and all the great staff that they have at Purdue, and he's entered the NBA draft. He hasn't taken an agent yet, but I'm here to tell you that Trevion Williams might get 5-6 minutes on an NBA roster if he gets drafted in the 20s, if he gets drafted in the second round. Good rebounder that in college is shooting 50% from the free throw line. Good rebounder in college that can't consistently hit a jump shot right now. You know what I'm saying? NBA is not waiting for you to develop. They need you. I get it. Sometimes it's
a lottery pick. Sorry.
Okay. So a lottery pick. You want the quitter, Jalen Johnson, that quit on Duke? That's the lottery. That's the lottery pick right there. You want the kid, Zaire Williams, they went to Stanford. You don't even know who he is, Brandon. You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Those guys.
Yeah, he played with Bronny and all that at Sierra Canyon. I know who he is.
Okay. Played with Bronny. That's the 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid. What do 16-year-old, 17-year-old kids do against 30-year-old men like Westbrook, 30-year-old men like LeBron James, 30-year-old men? You will have your team looking like the Orlando Magic. You will have your team looking like the Oklahoma Thunder. You will have your team looking like Sacramento Kings, where all they got is De'Aaron Fox and maybe Buddy Hield on some nights. Man, don't nobody that tanking and that building through the lottery. If you get you a guy, a good quality guy in the lottery, yes, and build around him, yes. But like you trying to get two or three lottery picks to try to fill out a roster, it didn't work for Philadelphia till they start saying, wait a minute, we need to retain some of our guys, and not only do that, go out and get a free agent and use the money that they would have for. The Miami Heat built their team on free agency. It wasn't built on lottery picks. Outside of Dwayne Wade, it wasn't built on lottery picks. Outside of the last 10 years, the only team that's kind of built their franchise dynasty-wise on lottery picks, and even Draymond Green's not a lottery pick, ladies and gentlemen, but the Splash Brothers were, right? Outside of that, everybody else that came to that team, David West, Kevin Durant, all those guys were free agents. So unless you got a brain in your general manager in your front office that can talk and build and make guys believe, you know what I'm saying, going the lottery pick route, you're going to be in the lottery pick. You're going to be in a lottery pick situation year after year after year if you're talking about tanking.
Let me go through things. To kind of go to counter that, I guess. I love when we debate on each side of this. When I say in tank, okay, maybe I should have rephrased this when I first spoke. I don't believe it's tank for, hey, let's blow this whole team up. I'm talking about just this season. Okay, get yourself a lottery pick. Yeah, maybe the talent pool isn't as great for the lottery pick, kind of where the Pacers would be drafting, but can't be moved into a trade to get us either a player or a different spot in the draft. I think you kind of got to look that route, especially if you're Pritchard, because if you can find ways to improve your team and going into the offseason, a shiny, nice number 10 or 12 or 11 draft pick, there might be some teams that are, hey, you know what? God, we need to get up and get in the lottery and just figure out who we can get anybody up there and we can try to see what we can do. Looking at some of the people, John, I take Davion Mitchell from Baylor, national champion, played very, very well. He's right now at number 10, and he can easily fall to number 12. I don't want Kispert. I'm sorry. I would take Josh Giddey Josh Giddey from Australia, point guard. We kind of need, besides Malcolm Brogdon, somebody else to come off that bench because T.J. McConnell will not be a Pacer next season as much as I'd want to. They're just not going to pay that. Moses Moody from Arkansas, I'd take him. I don't think Scotty Barnes is going to fall from Florida State. I really don't. But if you don't like any of those players, or maybe, you know, Odomisu, you're not too big of a fan of Odomisu from Illinois. He kind of got exposed there in that second round game. For Illinois. But are you grading it based off of one game or kind of what his NBA potential could be at that point? I think you take a chance, and if you don't like who you're gonna get in that tank process, you have another option. You can trade it. Somebody will take that pick, and you can put it past. If you don't think that Sabonis and Turner is going to work out, package one of those two. I would say it'd probably be Miles. Package Miles and see what offers you get. It can't hurt. If anything, it's good to have, because it, to me, I think it raises another one-star value to maybe a two-star or three-star value having that. I don't know what is playing right now. My, that's just my thought. I think you tank for this season. You get a draft pick, and either you keep it and you pick somebody and see how they do with your program, or you trade it and put a package together because somebody's going to want it. This year's pretty much wrapped. It is. So
I don't. We could argue back and forth.
Now don't get fooled, because you're going to get fooled because we have easy games coming up.
What I don't trust is Kevin Pritchard making a decision on whoever it is, whoever they would choose.
A lot of
criticism was given to Larry Bird's direction, and smart fans knew not to necessarily like overly do that. You can criticize Larry Bird for taking Tyler Hansborough when he probably should have took. I think Ty Lawson was up there, neither one of them are in the league right now, so that's kind of a wash. But the thing about it is, and also you can criticize Larry Bird for making that trade for Kawhi Leonard but they needed George. They needed the point. They needed a guard, right? So, and nobody except for maybe Greg Popovich knew the potential that Kawhi Leonard possessed. Outside of that, man, Larry Bird saw something in Paul George that nobody kind of saw, and he was right about it. Paul George turned out to be an all-star for the Pacers. We all know the story with Paul George and kind of his relationship eroded it. Kind of when, if you think about it, when Larry Bird left and when upper brass didn't want to do deals, didn't want to give Paul the power. Let's put it to like that. They didn't want to give Paul the power that Paul thought he could swing with the Pacers. When we talk about, the much talked about rumor of getting Anthony Davis to come play for the Pacers. Okay.
Well,
so
he pissed them off. When they went from that power forward.
Right, they're right. So that deterred him. But the thing about David West, bringing in a guy like David West, that was a great move by, and that was not somebody that we drafted. When you think about the development of Roy Hibbert, when people thought that he was a brontosaurus dinosaur even back then, you know what I'm saying, and him developing to a player. And again, I kind of think about how he fell off the rails is when Larry Bird kind of challenged him too, that buying him crap, right? If you remember that, but like when Larry Bird left the front office and as the main guy, kind of making the decisions, man, all the guys that he had, this kind of the team kind of fell to the wayside, you know. I just really believe that you have to have a great mixture of veteran talent, either from somebody else, you know what I'm saying, a free agent that another team didn't want to take the time to invest a whole lot of money in, you also have to have a homegrown guy that you have in your system. But I'm telling you, as much as I love Jalen Suggs, as much as I love even Cade Cunningham, they're going to have rookie struggles for the next 2 years because they're only 18, 19 years old. They're only 2 years removed away from college. You know what I'm saying? We saw what happened when Jalen Suggs, I mean, he didn't necessarily have a bad game at all against Baylor, but you know what I'm saying, he didn't look like, shoot, the games prior to that, he looked like somewhere between, you know what I'm saying, they was comparing him to Jason Kidd to Dwayne Wade, That's the kind of, I mean, and again, you know, he's going to end up in that kind of classification anyway, but it won't happen within the next two seasons. You know what I'm saying? Rookies make mistakes. They just do. So, again, man, I just wouldn't, not for anybody outside, not for anybody in this draft. Outside of the top four pick, maybe in the top five, you're talking about Jalen Green, talking about Jalen Suggs, Kate Cunningham. Outside of those guys, there's nobody really that you can't get either from another team's free agency standpoint, or like you said, man, if you want to move Miles Turner or even Sabonis to get another young piece, not necessarily a lottery pick, another young piece from a team that's got somebody, you know what I'm saying, not getting a whole lot of minutes off, you know what I'm saying, or being misused, then sure, you know what I'm saying. When I think about somebody like Atlanta, what they're doing with John Collins down there, even though they're winning, like, you know what I'm saying, I know there was, you know what I'm saying, a bunch of there was a lot of like sandpaper to was he going to resign with the team in the offseason, you know what I'm saying? But he's an offensive kind of guy, not necessarily the defensive prowess that Miles is, but like we're asking the, you know, with Borgren is asking the Pacers to score more from that position. I don't think to pick on Miles right now, I don't think what Pacers initially saw, whether it was Kevin Pritchard or anybody else in that front office, what they want Miles Turner to be somewhere in the likes of Jermaine O'Neal or something kind of like that, offensive, defensive kind of guy. I don't think that's what he is. That you got a kind of guy that you can depend upon to get 15 or 20 points. He's not that guy. He will show flashes where you can get 20 points. He will show flashes where I think he had at least two game winners. This is, believe it or not, buzzer beaters this year, crazy as that is. But for the most part, man, we see him struggle night after night, 1 for 7, 1 for 8, 2 for whatever, you know what I'm saying? And then ends up with the 5 rebounds per contest, man. That's and this guy's talking about he wants to be defensive player of the year. So, again, you know what I'm saying, what defense, can he play? Yes. Can he – offense is where the things kind of go with playing stretch four, where the things kind of go awry with him. I wouldn't necessarily be a fan of moving Sabonis. He is a fan favorite. You can play through him. I know he's not necessarily as quick as some of like what you want your center to be when you think about playing in the East against the Giannis's of the world or against the Joel Embiid's of the world. But again, he's a piece that I think the Pacers sometimes. You know what, Brandon? I always say this, man, because I got it from Stan Van Gundy, man. Stan Van Gundy had this great analogy of like looking at players, man. He had said this about. Who did he say this about? He said this about, Steven Jackson, or he said it about Ron Artest. He said, man, on a championship team, this is when they were playing for the Pacers. He said, on a championship team, they'd probably be the third guy. But on the Pacers, we depended on them to be the second guy, the second primary scorer, or you know what I'm saying? Definitely, you know, yeah, definitely the second primary scorer, sometimes even the primary scorer when you talk about Steven Jackson when he was playing here. So when I think about Sabonis, he probably should be the third option on a championship level team. If you play for LeBron, I don't want to take it like that. If you play for Dallas, you know what I'm saying? Like, what would that team look like if you take out Unicorn and him and Luka were playing together? If you play for Boston, that's probably something they would salivate on. You know what I'm saying? Then those guys, those guards, and those fours, they can be free really and nearly all they want. And then they depend upon him is to get 15 to 17 points a night. And you know saying all the defense will be played by them. So, I you know, I mean, if we start talking about trading Giannis, I'm sorry, if we start trading Miles Turner, or even Sabonis, we'd be doing some other teams a favor. We really would. But so again, kind of lose back to my point, man. What is Nate Borken going to do to make it work? We put a lot of pressure. I do believe in the last couple seasons when Nate McMillan was here, like how can he make it work? You know what I'm saying? And then it went from how can he make it, but then Nate knew his job was online. He was like, dude, I got to win games. You know what I mean? So again, man, a lot of mess. My personal, not a messiness. It's not a mess that can't be fixed, but it's a lot of messiness kind of comes with the Pacers. They let guys go. Like that young. I've been beating that drum for like the last couple of episodes. They let guys go like that young go for like, you know what I'm saying, Ari Emilio over, you know what I'm saying, $2 or $3 million to bring in Goga, who again, like to my point about G Leaguer, he's a developmental guy. He might be a player 4 or 5 years from now. He might be a dependable starter 4 or 5 years from now, but like we needed him to be what Thad Young was when Thad Young walked up out of here, and that hasn't happened, not consistently. So again, man, I'm not embracing any type of let's see what we got and let's reduce minutes. You know what I mean? Again, it ain't a guarantee that you talk about getting into the playoffs and playing the Nets. I would want to play the Nets. Are we sure Kevin Garnett's going to play, or is he going to talk on TikTok?
Kevin Garnett.
I'm sorry, Kevin Durant. Are we sure that James Harden's going to play, as he just had
They'll
another setback?
They will all play,
you know,
in the playoffs. Guarantee it.
You sure?
Positive. They're just caking and toasting. The regular season don't mean crap to them, just like it doesn't the Lakers. You think LeBron James is sitting out right now because he's still got a bum foot or ankle? Hell no. He's just getting rest.
Brandon, here's what's funny about that. Until he got his ankle twisted, he was playing. He played 89% of the games.
Exactly.
That's
so this is time to rest.
And
they're like,
and he was actually, wait a minute, he was actually like second in MVP after when he missed the 28 free throws. So again,
when you're LeBron,
Brandon, I don't know what games you're watching. The Lakers is not the Nets. The Nets is a mass unit. There's no way that there's no concern with the Nets. I know we switched shifting gears here. I'm telling you right now, there's no way there's no concern. They are going to put smiley faces on it, right? But there's no way there's no concern with LaMarcus Aldridge retiring abruptly, because the heart condition was already here, okay? But I get it. He felt something that he never felt before, but he retired. There's no way there's no concern. Again, when Blake Griffin ain't played for the Detroit Pistons since he signed his contract, and he's still sitting out games. So, again, that's cause for concern. But, you know what? They lost last night again, and everybody played.
Everybody's playing. They're all going to play. I'll tell you this. They are going to sweep their first-round opponent. They're going to sweep.
They won't. I guarantee you they won't. They're not that good to sweep anybody. They're not.
I don't know about that. Come on now. Especially when you're going to get a team coming in off of a play-in tournament who's already going to be tired. And you telling
you
me Brooklyn?
They're not good enough to sweep. They're not.
It's teams are sitting out. LeBron James don't need to play. He's getting all his rest. This is the most he's ever set out for a season. You don't think that he said, you know what? Hey, we don't give a shit where we're at in the seedings. It don't mean anything. We'll go out and do our thing.
He's coming back next week. AD's coming back tonight.
I know AD is. AD needs to come back. He ain't played since Valentine's Day. He needs to at least get some stuff in.
15 games in, and you think Kevin Durant can turn on a switch after some magical switch that he becomes Mr. MVP?
Absolutely. He doesn't have to be. He's got star players.
Brandon, like I said, if he ain't playing, they not winning. Guarantee you. You have Kyrie Irving out there like you had Kyrie Irving with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Minus LeBron James.
What did I do for him, man?
Huh?
He's averaging 27 points a game this year, coming off of that foot, the torn AC, or Achilles. Wait, what else you want this guy to do for you? He just shot. On the 13th, two games ago, John, 11 of 15 from the field for 31 points. His plus minus was 32. The man can get some rest before the playoffs. He'll be fine.
Where was rest? He been resting. What do you mean rest? He rested all last season. He didn't play
in the bubble. He can rest. He's doing it.
Okay.
He's doing
all right. All right. Where was he at in that big game against Miami? They needed him. He wasn't there. Where was he at last night against Toronto? He wasn't there.
Are those necessary games? They're not.
They got to be necessary.
They're already in the playoffs.
Then all this tanking you're talking about, then why are we tanking? Everybody needs to go full board in. Why are the Pacers are tanking, but the Nets can chill? That doesn't make sense.
Because everybody chills, John. All the big teams chill. Except the only team that's not chilling, there's one team that's not going to be chilling, and it's going to be the Utah Jazz. Because obviously with Mitchell out, and if they really want that one seed that damn bad, they're going to have to be on their A game every night. Do you think the Clippers give a damn about it? Hell no. Kawhi, Paul out. Let people sit out. They don't care. They proved it last year they didn't care. They said, you know what? We'll take it to Lakers. They don't care.
Do you trust
the Phoenix Suns? Because I don't. Do you trust Utah Jazz? Because I don't. I said, do you trust the Jazz or the Phoenix Suns? I sure as hell don't.
you kind of have to buy some of what the Jazz and the Utah, the Jazz and the Phoenix Suns are dealing. You kind of have to. You kind of have
right.
to. They have,
no
teams,
experience.
They have better team continuity going into the playoffs with 15 games now left. They have better team continuity. The Suns just beat Milwaukee and Philadelphia back to back. That has to be cause for concern. I'm telling you. So all this rest and keep on chilling, I'm telling you, all this rest and keep on chilling, absolutely not. There's a big question mark in the Nets. Yes, they've won a bunch of games during this 72-game regular season. But big question mark. James Harden, setback, big question mark. Thigh bruise? You had to sit out because your thigh is not your Achilles, Brandon. I know you know the parts of the leg. So again, big question mark. Is this dude gonna be Mr. Glass? Then he can't play.
Hey, why make an injury worse? There's no reason to. Sit out, rest up, you'll be fine. You're a 2 seed right now. You're 7 games up on the 3 or 4 games up on the 3 seed right now. You can afford to lose a game or two.
That they technically scared of, because that's why they loaded up with LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. Because they're scared of playing a team that's dominant.
Are they scared of the Miami Heat? No. Are they scared of the Charlotte Hornets? No. Are you scared of the Indiana Pacers? No. Are you scared of Washington, who's the 10? No. They ain't scared of any of that.
You better be concerned about the Charlotte Hornets. That would be the biggest upset. It won't be in the first round, but that would be the biggest upset if they lose in the second. I mean, it's going to be a big upset anyway. Because, they should win the East if everybody comes to play, but they won't be sweeping anybody. And we can put a cap on it. I'm telling you, Jonathan Bergeron said the Brooklyn Nets will not sweep anybody.
Stop it. All right, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. That's fine. I don't trust Phoenix. I don't trust Utah in the Western Conference Finals. I don't trust either one of those teams. I don't believe any of those two teams are going to make it to the NBA Finals. And put a cap on that. It's not happening. It's going to be the Clippers.
Okay.
It's going to be the Lakers. Or, shit,
Clippers?
Give me –
The Clippers?
Give me
Wait
Portland.
A minute. Hold on. The Clippers? The Clippers. The Clippers. Kawhi Leonard got a foot injury right now. The Clippers, and so you're telling me you believe in playoff P? That's what you're telling me. That's what you're saying? Stop. You don't even believe that yourself.
If not now.
When did the Clippers ever go to a finals? That would be the next day to never. At least the Utah Jazz have a history of being there. At least the Phoenix Suns have a history of being there. It might be 20 years ago or 30 years ago. At least they have a history, a pedigree of being there. The Clippers? Stop it! It's a snake bit cursed team. Stop it! They won't make nobody finals.
Hey, we got plenty of time in this episode because when the interview is going to be added in. Let me go through real quick. Right now, the top 10 for each one. It's a nice little bracket format. Probably post this on the Facebook page. Utah Jazz. Can you see them in the NBA Finals, or even let alone winning it? Let's be honest.
LeBron and AD's coming back. That's a horrible matchup for them. So getting to the Western Conference Finals, absolutely. They're unbeatable. They're damn near unbeatable at home. If you look up their home record, they're damn near unbeatable at home. The Utah Jazz.
Okay. The Phoenix Suns.
Hold
on. We ain't the Clippers yet.
Go ahead.
Phoenix Suns, 42-16.
I like them to get past the second round.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we're in agreement there. I don't know if they can get past the second round. I mean, right now they'd be playing the winner of the Lakers in Denver.
Jokic is a one-trick pony. Though he might be the MVP, he still needs Jamal Murray to keep up that scoring. They'll beat Denver. For sure.
Correct. 3 seed is Clippers.
Stop it. Finn scoring. They can't defend. They can't. If you got a high-level point guard that can put up points, he eats. He will eat. What's my man's name that everybody says is a dog? Patrick Beverly, no. They signed Yogi Ferrell to back up Patrick Beverly. Come on, man. Stop it.
Denver Nuggets, we just talked about. Without Jamal Murray, Jokic can't carry that squad. I don't care if you got Aaron Gordon and Will Barton or not. Gary Harris ain't back yet, is he?
Gary
he
Harris
got traded.
Got traded. Yeah, he got traded.
So we're in agreement. We don't trust Denver. I don't trust Denver. I don't now. Obviously, it's an injury. The Los Angeles Lakers.
LeBron's in it. There's no way they ain't. There's no way they're not getting to the Western Conference Finals. But he'll be back for sure.
I do like Portland. Maybe they can make a run.
Man, I watched Portland choke off. I mean, they can be corralled. I get it. A lot of times we see Damian Lillard pull up 50 points, pull up 60 pointers, man. The next two games he'll have like 12. He'll have like 18. And I'm not saying that's respectable. That's usually like the other team sending doubles and sometimes triple teams at him. But like sometimes CJ doesn't live up to the hype, and they still got like a young core off that bench. And Enes Kanter sometimes plays a little soft. So no, I don't trust Portland. They're scary. They'll get they can win one game. That's what I'm saying. They won't get swept. They have that kind of swagger about them. But no, not this year.
We're both in agreement on no Dallas, no Memphis, no Golden State, and no Spurs. That's the last four squads that are battling for the play-on tournament.
I think Golden State right now wouldn't they have to do a play-in game?
Right now be playing the Spurs as a play-in game, and if they win, they would then go to the 8 seed. If they lose, then they're obviously out.
Right. Can Steph get on a hot streak? Obviously, he can. But you're talking about playing against the Spurs, man. That's a tough challenge. But for like a one game, I would take Golden State to get into the playoffs. But then getting swept, never. But then winning a series against one of the top two teams, I wouldn't make that bet.
I will tell you. Let me rank for you who I think Western Conference Finals, who I like right now, and just the top. These four teams. I got Lakers number one. I've got Clippers number two, Jazz three, and Phoenix four. Get to the Western Conference Finals.
I like the Jazz. I would switch that.
You love the Jazz too much, man. Hey, this ain't Stockton, Malone, and Hornacek out there.
Nah, it's Donovan. Donovan Mitchell's pretty awesome, man. And he's got an anchor. He's got an anchor in the guy who damn near who called the COVID panic, right? He's got him, Rudy Gobert. And he's got come on, man. He's got Bogey out there. He's got some shooters out there too, man. There's no way. And oh my God, Brandon, how can I forget him? He's got Snyder, a Duke guy. You know, I ain't gonna never talk bad against a Duke guy. So no, man, I like Utah to get to the. I like Utah at least to get to the Western Conference Final. I really did.
Okay. In the East, Philly's number one, Brooklyn's number two. Brooklyn's only a half game back of first. Only a half game back, John. And you're thinking the damn Titanic's sinking. This Brooklyn squad.
How many other squads do they play that stink? When you talk about Detroit, when you talk about Oklahoma City Thunder, when you talk about the Jekyll and Hyde Pacers, when you talk about another Jekyll and Hyde team before they had the coaching change from Pierce to McMillan. We talk about the Atlanta Hawks. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of Jekyll and Hyde teams that play better at home than they do on the road. You know what I mean? Sacramento Kings.
Probably
you know
a good
I mean?
Thing Brooklyn's at home.
So what now?
It's probably a good thing then that Brooklyn's going to be a one or a two seed and be at home. So the majority of their series are at home.
Yeah, true. But here's the thing. When they play a team that defends, they're going to have a hard time. Charlotte Hornets like to defend. I wish in one hand and crap in the other, see which one fizzles faster. I wish LaMelo Ball was playing as far as Charlotte was concerned. Believe it or not, he makes that team a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? As far as offensively different. That team plays, they play great defense, on the ball defense, and they offensive rebound very well. The lone problem, and I don't want to say that the New Jersey, damn it, man, I don't want to say the Brooklyn Nets are terrible. What they do is they put Mike D'Antoni's system on steroids. That's what it is. If they're great, they know how to score. They let Kyrie do his thing. When James Harden was there, they kind of let both of them do their thing. The problem is for me is they give up just as much as they give. So if Kyrie scores 30, the guy he's facing let's say it's Brogdon. Brogdon's gonna get 28. You know, you see what I'm saying? If it's Harden, let's say it's Bradley Beal. You know what I'm saying? Bradley Beal, if Harden scores 30, Bradley Beal's gonna go score 40. They are disinterested. They have bought into the system that is Steve Nash's and Mike D'Antoni's, and like they. But here's the thing: basketball will tell you better than I can. Basketball will show you better than I can tell you. You still need bigs. You still need to be able to defend. You still need to be able to rebound. If you want to have 7 foot, 6 foot, 11 and a half, Kevin Durant out there banging against Joel Embiid, out there banging to get rebounds against.
DeAndre Jordan for that.
Giannis, man, stop it. He ain't DeAndre from the old days, man. Like, he's just not, man. So again, they are excellent offensive minded team. They really are. Yeah, because the guy that we wanted, Harris, is putting up career numbers. He's a shooting guard, but they got him playing small forward. But again, if they weren't concerned about what I just said, the Joel Embiid's of the world, the Giannis of the world, then they wouldn't have got it. They wouldn't have went out into the buyout market and try to get LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. And again, by any means, Blake Griffin's not a defensive guy. Never was. You know what I'm saying? But basically, they're going to be using all those fouls between DeAndre Jordan and between Blake Griffin on whatever big that gets a hot streak against them. I don't know if you watched the game. I know you're on a golf tour. Man, like they really needed somebody to stand in against Miami when my guy hit the game winner. Kentucky guy, that's why I can't remember his name right now. You know what I'm talking about. But Jimmy Butler called the team soft and he didn't play. And then Bam Adebayo, it was win time, and they put the ball in his hand, and they needed the big, and they needed some defense, and they didn't have it. Game winner, chicken dinner. Bam Adebayo and the Miami Heat win the game, you know. So again, I just don't trust them against bigs, man. They can score. I don't.
Let me go through the East now real quick with you. Philadelphia, you trust them to make the NBA Finals? I'm guessing.
The Eastern Conference Finals, yes.
Okay.
They're that good.
Brooklyn, Eastern Conference Finals. You got to give them the respect that they can
be. Yeah.
Milwaukee.
Man, you Giannis haters out there, man. I got to stop hating on Giannis, man, and the Bucks, man. It ain't Giannis. It's some of the ancillary parts that surround him, right? Sometimes Uncle Drew is a little hurt, a little banged up. You don't necessarily get the best of Uncle Drew. You don't get the best Uncle Drew that you should get. And then Middleton, my goodness, shoot, they need to take shooting guard out of his name, because sometimes the shot selection ain't what it's supposed to be. But again, that's another team that plays, you know what I'm saying, intensified defense, and that's another team that rebounds very well. So them getting past the second round, yes, but East Conference Finals, I don't think so.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth, all right?
I mean, that's what Roy says. You don't watch them play throughout the year. The New York Knicks. The New York Knicks, what a feel-good story they are right now. 33-27, 4 seed in the East, just beat Atlanta, who's the 5 seed. I actually watched – I got home from work last night, and I popped on that game in the second quarter. And what I do last night, I laid on the couch and watched the Knicks and Hawks, and it was a great, great game with the overtime.
Man, I thought the Hawks had that game wrapped up, and then the Knicks were able to force overtime. It's not a typical Tibbs defense. They do play. They play it in pockets, I would say.
Right.
You kind of got like what the Knicks have energy wise. They consistently offensively aren't like that though, Brandon. I would say that. Last night they had I think they were filling it up. They were filling it right from all points or all parts of the court.
Right.
But like, nah, man, they're a team that kind of possessed Tibbs. We know Tibbs is a motivator, and he's got guys, you know what I'm saying, wanting to play for not only for them, for themselves, because like a lot of, if you think about it, outside the lottery pick and oh my God, what's the Duke guy's name? Shame on me for not remembering the Duke guy. But like some of those guys are castoffs. They're good castoffs. Julius Randle was like an afterthought that the Lakers said, nah, man, we don't need him no more. You know what I mean? Derrick Rose, you poo-pooed you know what I'm saying, several episodes ago, man. Here, he's playing some – yes, you did. Don't talk about no woe. He's playing some good basketball now. But again, they're all motivated, and like I said, who would have guessed that at the start of this season, I bet if I go back, everybody kind of had them out of the playoffs and make the lottery again. But who would have thought they'd be sitting fourth in the West?
I don't know. I had them in a 7th seed. I just looked up. I found my file on my computer where I had my predictions from early – from the beginning of the season. I had him as a 7.
Okay.
I mean, I
wasn't talking about you, Brandon. I was talking about Basketball Digest.
Well, that's us. I mean. How about Boston? 6th seed.
Playing better right now. You know, there's no pressure about Brad Stevens leaving. There's no pressure anymore about trading anybody. You know, so I think that's kind of behind them now. Could they win a first round series? Yeah. Could they extend it to somebody to 7? Where are they? Are they like sitting right now? They're like 6 or 7.
6 seed. They're a half game back of the Hawks and a game and a half back of the Knicks for 4th.
They need home court advantage. You know what I mean? As much as they kind of figure out some of their issues. Jason Tatum is the volume guy, and I would say Jaylen Brown is the guy that needs to play with more efficiency. They were kind of playing it where both guys were taking a whole lot of shots, and they just weren't winning in that way. You know what I'm saying? You would see Jason Tatum with 30 points, and he would shoot 20 times, and then you would see Jaylen Brown shoot 20 times and only hit 4 times, 4 for 20s, man. You know, again, that's not winning basketball. They've gotten better at sharing the ball, not necessarily being a whole lot of isolation. Kemba Walker is playing better on the defensive side as well. I just don't trust them. I think sometimes, you know how it is, when you go back to some of your old habits kind of show up once playoffs kind of start. They still kind of a donut in the middle for me. You know what I'm saying? Whether you're sticking the power with whoever's playing power forward, whoever's playing center, they're kind of playing undersized. So I don't like Boston. I like Boston to extend the series, but not necessarily win the series.
Boston better watch it, because right now they're only a half game up of the 7th seed, Miami Heat. So they could easily see themselves in the play-in tournament when it begins. And for those of you who don't know, the playoff, the play-in tournament, they did it last year. Basically, the 7 and 8 seed will play, and then the 9 and 10 seed will play, and you'll get your winners and whatever. So Miami at 7, Charlotte at 8. If Charlotte wins, they move from the 8 seed to the 7. Miami's not out of it. Miami then would play the winner of the 9 and 10 game, either the Sixers or the Wizards. And whoever would win that game then would go in and play Philadelphia in the first round. So it is interesting. I really don't – I mean, like I said, I'd rather see the Pacers just tank for the rest of the year. So take it as a lost season and we'll do whatever. I don't want to see them go in and get beat by Philly 4-1 or another first-round loss, because all that's going to do is just piss off more of the fan base. And if we can just go quietly into the night as the playoffs start, then maybe we can do that this year. But – I'm very shocked at you, Jonathan, of how much hate. And I know we got fans listening in Brooklyn and in the state of New York. We're probably going to lose. But how you just don't trust the Brooklyn Nets. Buddy, I've got the Nets in the NBA Finals. They're going to be going there, not to say easily, but punch the tickets to the NBA Finals. I think Brooklyn's going.
Brooklyn and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Young boys don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. All right.
I know. Jonathan doesn't watch them play all throughout the year. None of them watches them. And you're going to get KD once he wins that Eastern Conference Finals, and they're holding up that little Eastern Conference trophy. You're going to hear him say this:
"With a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment in my life."
It is. It's going to be for KD. 8%.
Hey, Brandon, knowing his sensitive self, he's probably already crying about something.
Hey, did you see the clip I sent you about when he was on the Barstool podcast with Million Dollar Game, and they asked him to name his top five teammates, and he says it's going to hurt some feelings. He named everybody, and then the last one, he forgot. He gives Serge Ibaka, he forgot the name Russ, and he goes like, oh, damn, I did forget Russ. I think that was meant on purpose.
Yeah, that's a bit on purpose, man. They're unfortunate. You know, man, everybody kind of knows their story, man. Their breakup is probably worse than, you know, saying Shaq and Kobe's, believe it or not, man. I don't know, man. It's just it is what it is, man. I maybe one day they'll have a sit down, kind of like Shaq and Kobe did.
Yeah. All right. What we will do. Oh, by the way. Two questions. We'll go back to the NBA draft real quick with Jalen Suggs. I wrote a little note down. Better NBA career, Jalen Suggs or RJ Barrett, or Jalen Suggs and Cam Reddish?
Oh, well, easily. Jalen Suggs over Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish had so much. Cam Reddish had so much. Well, she still should be. I mean, he's still young in his career, man, but he should be getting after a little bit better than what he's doing, man. I know Coach Nate McMillan down there is using the team. He's using the team's talents a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And everybody's kind of getting minutes, but I think Huter gets more minutes than Cam Reddish right now. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So, the first time I seen Cam Reddish, I thought, man, kid could be somewhere between Bonzi Wells, shout out to Ball State, and Paul George. He has that kind of athletic ability. He just didn't necessarily have the shot consistency from outside, either mid-range or from three. Just kind of a guy that kind of like, you know, stands out there and kind of plays when he wants to. If you remember some of those games we'll be watching at Duke when we were playing with Zion. And they're like, man, when he kind of got challenged, went over to the sideline or whatever, man, then he comes back out there and makes a play. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't want to look bad. But, like, now I think, you know what I'm saying, sometimes I think he just kind of cashes it in. So, Then, hold on. Who'd you say the other one was kind of? I think the other one was kind of a toss-up. That's a little of a toss-up, man. That still remains to be seen. I'm kind of in agree with you. I think Jalen Suggs will be the number one overall pick, no matter who picks him, no matter who gets number one overall.
Wow. I think Cade Cunningham goes number one, but
okay.
Personally, real quick, we'll do. We're going to take a phone call real quick before we go to our ad read and stuff. From the KFAB Connection, okay. Fred Palmer joins us. Fred, what's going on?
Hey, Crossroads Sports, long time no talk. How's it going, fellas?
Good. Yourself?
Oh, man. Awesome, dude.
I missed you, buddy.
Happy Earth Day, Fred. What you been up to, man?
Oh, man, not much. Just doing some personal maintenance, you know, root canals and x-rays on my knee. You know, I want to be able to hoop more than just getting on 2K. So, you know, I think it's summer. We had snow a couple days ago, but, you know, spring and summer, you know, hopefully it'll be here sometime soon. But I want to go hoop, so getting my knee checked out. You know, you pull your back trying to get some underwear out of your dresser. You know how it goes, mid-30 woes.
Sounds like you went through a table.
No, yeah, I actually drove up to West Lafayette today for chicken fingers. That's what I did. I took my wife to the airport, and then I proceeded to drive an hour and 15 minutes for chicken fingers. So tonight's shout-out is for Raising Cane's. We officially have a Raising Cane's in Indiana now, so.
Oh,
this is amazing.
Such a great place.
Just amazing. We lived in St. Louis for a little bit, and so I found out about that place when we lived in the Brentwood area, and the Galleria was right like a mile away. And man, it is. I mean, I know it's just basic, you know, toast and crinkle cut fries and chicken fingers, but it's to quote Craig's dad in Friday, it's my pleasure. So.
Fred, I know it's been a couple of weeks, but what was your thoughts on the WrestleMania? I guess late.
For kayfabe, we usually do watch parties for that. Like the Big Four, I'm not going to be one of those guys that's like, you know, screw everything WWE does. Like there's the Big Four comes around, I'm watching. And so we do a watch party. We get on Zoom and a bunch of us watch it. And, You know, night one was surprisingly well. Like, the rain delay was kind of funny, and they're all cutting these weird promos. We had made that joke, like, you know, if a Cubs game is rained out or something, they show, like, the Sandlot or something. Like, I thought it was hilarious. Like, we should show No Holds Barred or something. Just randomly show, like, Mr. Nanny for the first 30 minutes of WrestleMania. But, you know, the Bad Bunny match, like, kudos to him. And Damian Priest and Miz and Morrison, like, that was surprisingly just a fun, it felt like a Mania match. Like, it was just fun, and we, you know, they had big names involved in it with Bad Bunny. He's like a big name in music, and so that was cool. And then Bianca and Sasha put on what I felt was an all-time classic. Like, Bayley and Sasha, you know, had that great Takeover Brooklyn match, but, I mean, the Bianca-Sasha match is right up there. I think it's right under, falls kind of right underneath that, but that's like at least got to be top three women's match as far as WWE is concerned. So night one was good, and then there's night two. Night two was just super problematic from the jump. You got the Fiend and his little Jack in the Box entrance, which was cool, and then he loses with one RKO in like 5 minutes. I don't know if Bray Wyatt had extramarital affairs with Linda, or like, I don't know what he did to Vince to deserve so much hate, but yikes. So yeah, I mean, the triple threat title match was pretty cool. It was, you know, it was a good main event match, I suppose. I coming out of both nights, I just felt like night one was the better night. The Owen Zane match was the biggest letdown for me, because, I mean, I've seen Steen and Generico kill themselves at, like, Final Battle and PWG, right. And then to see them kind of just go out there for 10 minutes and nothing big other than a stunner to some YouTube guy, I'm not even going to mention his name, we all know him, but,
right.
Yeah, I kind of felt defeated about that one. It's like, ugh, like, man, kind of a bummer, but... it was what it was, and that was it. Like, move on.
Yeah.
I'll check them out maybe SummerSlam. Like, that's about all I got.
Championship match, right? The triple threat with Reigns. I didn't think it was that. I mean, I think with the way they've led it so far, they're going to build it up to something big, and I think it probably would have to be SummerSlam, where somebody comes and fights Reigns, and I don't know, I guess The Rock, if he wants to come back in August, I guess he has a viable, they say Lesnar, but Jesus, do we want to go through that route one more time?
Brandon, that's a great point, man, about The Rock. You know, honestly, what I could see happening, they need to fill 100,000 butts in the seats in Dallas next year. And how do you get 100,000 Texans other than to see a mediocre football team that hasn't done anything since the mid-90s?
Yeah,
you got to have big names involved. So I say Taker is the Hall of Fame entrant, and then I say Stone Cold is the host of Mania, and then I say it's Reigns Rock. Rock is the real head of the table, the real true chief. That's going to be the storyline to play out. That, in my opinion, like, you kind of have to do all those things to get 100,000 butts in the seat
right
at Cowboys Stadium.
I would let Reigns keep letting him hold the title. All that's going to do is just build it up more. Let him hold it for 400 and some days. Kind of, you know, how CM Punk did.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
So.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Did you get to chance yet to watch the Stone Cold and Jericho Spoken Steel session?
Yeah, I watched it Mania morning. And to be honest, I didn't expect it to be the salacious, like, controversial podcast like everybody was hoping for.
Right.
I agree that I think it was silly for WWE to be so arrogant to let Jericho on, because they still kind of don't even view AEW as competition. And for me, it was just, honestly, it was a 2-hour commercial for AEW. Like, for all the people that watched the McIntyre-Lashley match that were like, meh. And, you know, then night two, they see Bray Wyatt losing 5 minutes to start the show. They're really pissed off, and they're like, this isn't the Mania that I, you know, grew up loving. Then you listen to the Jericho podcast, like, oh, crap, there's a show on TNT, and all right, well, let me give them a shot because I'm not really feeling this. That was a super dumb move. And you look at NXT's now on Tuesday nights, and, yeah, their viewership's gone up, what, like 20,000 to 40,000 in the last 2 weeks? It dropped this week, but... now you got Dynamite putting up like comparable to Raw numbers. So, you know, you got Dynamite doing 1.3 million viewers during after Mania week, and then you got them doing 1.1 this week. The ratings just came out. So that's huge. So to me, they WWE blew it, man. They really gave AEW a commercial.
Yeah. John, what you got?
Man, Fred and Brandon, my wrestling is I had to put on the back burner, man. I've been watching a lot of Peacock. Have been watching a lot of Peacock, but not any WWF product, man. I got to ask Fred, I know we're kind of removed from it, what did he think about Michigan's run in the tournament?
Oh, dude, I'm at a healing point now in my life where I felt healed from that punch in the gut, and Bird just drove the knife right back into the almost healed. In all honesty, I gotta give credit to the Bruins, man. I gotta give credit to UCLA. That was a run for the ages. And Brandon, I'm so jealous of you because you got to witness the game of the ages. Man, Jalen Suggs with that game winner. There were like five times where I'm like, man, UCLA is going to the national champ. Like, it was one of the greatest games in tournament history.
Right.
I can't sit here and be mad at that. Like, and it's almost kind of like the year Michigan got blown out by Texas Tech, and you're like, dude, really? And then you see Texas Tech almost makes, you know, like, they made a magical run. So you kind of almost want to root for that team once you go down. If fists were fists, we'd all be drunk. I mean, Sean D. Brown, I would have liked to see Coach Howard give him more looks because he's a guy, once his confidence gets going, his shot is pretty consistent. He didn't really do much, nor did Mike Smith. And then, you know, Wagner, man, he just pooped the bed like
wide open.
And there was a lot of hype going into the tourney. Like, he needed to stand out. And man, like, especially those last two shots of the game, like, I honestly would have rather have had the ball in like Eli Brooks' hands or even Sean D. Brown, like get a set of pick for him and have Sean D. Brown shoot that last shot. You could tell something with Wagner that it was kind of, you know, the nerves were there, and some players can play through that and some players just can't. He's a kid. I'm not going to sit here as a grown man and scream about a 19-year-old kid airballing a shot when I've never even played a college game, let alone, and you know, going to the Final Four. So I'm not going to sit here and be mean to a 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid that misses a shot. But at the same time, as a fan, you know, it just we didn't expect much this season, and for them to almost get to the Final Four, and then, you know, the Bruins were one shot away from going to the championship and shocking everybody. I take my hat to both clubs, UCLA and Michigan. Next year we got Eli Brooks back. Hunter Dickinson's going to be back, and who he needs to mature a little bit. He needs to get a couple more post moves going. He's kind of predictable. He only plays one side of the ball offensively, so if he can work on that in the summer, we got Eli back, and then we got three McDonald's All-Americans coming.
Right.
I think Michigan turns the corner to become a blue blood program. So.
Okay.
You kind of took everything I wanted to say about Michigan's run out of my mouth, man. And hey, at least, you know what I'm saying? I know why you're giving respect to UCLA, because they beat Michigan State. That's why you're giving that much respect to Michigan. I mean, to UCLA. That's what it is. They beat that in the play-in game.
Dude, honestly, Sparty cares more about Michigan than Michigan cares about Sparty. If you're a true in-state fan of that, of either rivalry, like, we live in their heads rent-free. It doesn't matter the sport. Like, if they beat Michigan, it's like, woo! Like, the Super Bowl happened, and then the rest of the season doesn't matter, you know? I don't care about that stuff. Like, is it fun to see, like, when Ohio State lost to Oral Roberts, dude, you would have thought it was my birthday. Like, I was doing the Tootsie Roll, the Cabbage Patch, like Juwan did back in the past five. Like, I was happy. But other than that, it's like, if Ohio loses, that's really all I care about. Other than that, for state, it's just, I don't care about them, only when we're playing them. But other than that, I really don't care.
Like you said, it ain't like Michigan. It ain't like the Cubs Bear coming back in the next year. So I know it'd be too early to do any type of preseason, where Michigan. But I couldn't say wholeheartedly they wouldn't be a favorite. They wouldn't be at least top two to win the Big Ten for sure next year.
Man, and like, you got to give praise to the champs too, though. Baylor, man, there's just certain teams like that UNLV team. Shout out to Detroit Southwestern. They had, you know, their best player ever, Anderson Hunt, along with, you know, Larry Johnson. That whole, like, man, that team, that was an all-time team. And there's just teams mm-hmm. that are just, you got three NBA stars on your team. You're just better than everybody. And Baylor proved yeah. that. Dude, Bird, I don't think you were working that day, but way back in the Best Buy days, the Baylor Uh-oh. Team actually came in to the Best Buy, and I was up at the front, and I talked to a couple of them. It was late in the evening, and I talked to a couple of them. I remember, I'm not saying I'm a soothsayer or anything, but they were kind of in the dumps about their team, and I'm like, dude, you guys are going to be, like, a legit program, like, for years to come. And he's like, oh, appreciate it, and they walked out. And then it's like, you kind of saw Baylor going in that direction of just the tide's kind of turning on, you know, Kentucky constantly being dominant. And you see UNC's had a couple trash seasons here and there, but there's room yeah. to eat with other teams. And with recruiting now, recruiting is a little bit different these days than it has been in the past. So you're going to see new programs kind of come up and sprout up in the ranks. And man, Baylor and Gonzaga, credit to them. But there's these new programs are coming about. There's going to be new programs and dynasties and blue blood teams that we're going to kind of see in this era versus kind of the stuff we grew up with, you know. And it's good to see. It's fun. It shakes things up. That's what makes college basketball great. So, yeah, man, credit to Baylor, okay. too.
Okay. For sure. Fred Miller, I know it's been a hiatus, man, for you. And whatnot, self-imposed, right? But don't let it be this long going for not calling in, bud.
Oh, hey, never, man. Yeah, definitely get back on the horn again and talk some stuff. Playoffs, NBA playoffs. Playoffs are coming up. Lakers are a fifth seed, so that makes me happy. That's hilarious. So, you know, we'll see. I had no idea. I checked the standings. Dude, the Suns are in second place. I'm like, man, I knew they were good this season, but I don't know. Like, the standings kind of threw me off. I'm like, man, the Suns are a two seed right now.
Well, before we let you go, man, who do you think Detroit takes next draft starts next Friday? No, Thursday, I do believe. Who do you think Detroit takes?
The Lions in the draft.
Who would you like for them to take?
Man.
I would say that.
So – I don't want to be sour on Jared Goff. I think this year is a year of so many elite quarterbacks coming out. It's hilarious. Like, Justin Fields' stock completely tanked, and that was kind of either – like, I've been seeing Zach Wilson from the jump, but it looks like the Jets are probably going to take him at two. There's a lot of talk of the Lions being considered one of the teams that potentially may trade down and just for bulk to get more picks. I've heard rumors with, like, the Patriots and other teams, so – I wouldn't be mad at that, but I kind of would. I you know, thinking out loud here, I would like a guy like Kyle Pitts, Devonta Smith, okay. like playmaker guys. Like, I still got a salty taste in my mouth from the Megatron stuff, and I really, you know, with Kenny G leaving especially, he wanted way too much money, so good for him, you know. Go take a bite out of the Big Apple. I want to see him get a playmaker, man. Get Kyle Pitts or Devonta Smith, and I'm happy. Kyle Pitts especially, like, that's a generational talent, a standout talent. And when you got a quarterback that's actually played in a Super Bowl slinging to a generational player, I mean, anything can happen. Defense still got to step up, and, you know, the offensive line is Charmin soft, but at least you get some playmaking on offense. You're going to get people excited in Detroit because it seems like every year your hopes get up and then they get let down. So – I think you need a big you go with a sexy pick instead of we got this O lineman out of Oregon, you know, Sewell or, you know, whomever. That's like the good football pick, but I think people are wanting to get excited about a sexy pick. So yes, Kyle Pitts is still there. I want Pitts. If you gotta go linebacker, the kid out of Penn State, and then you got Sewell
Mika
there at the O line. So yeah, I mean, Mika Peterson.
I think you're on to something. I think you're on the right path. I don't think Pitts will be there at seven. I think that's where the Lions pick it. I think Waddell Are you having a chance to pick between Jamar Chase or Waddell or even Devontae Smith for that matter? So
yeah,
they should be able to get a good wideout for sure this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's hilarious too because they went consecutive years drafting receivers to where people are like, enough's enough, like Rodgers and Mike Williams, and we're like, not another receiver. And then this year, all right, get a receiver. Like, it's funny how life works, but yeah.
Perfect. All right, Fred. Well, thank you, sir. And don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Fred Feldner of the KFAP Connection. Thank you, Fred. All right, John, we're going to do pay a couple of the bills. We're going to do a couple ad reads. And then when we come back, we have our interview, our taped interview with Matthew Crenshaw, the IUPUI men's basketball head coach. So we're going to go to a break, and then the interview will play. If you're listening to this live, we will do the ad reads, and then we will come back live from there. So don't get confused by it. The interview will be in the podcast format that you can get on iTunes or iHeartRadio or the Google Play Store as early as later on tonight. So we're going to hit a couple ad reads, and we'll be back. And you'll listen to that interview.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also, we want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshot, jeeps, trucks, they offer pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickscustommotorsports.com. John, they ship worldwide custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessories, LED lights, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands. Check them out. 833-SHOP-MAV. Also, www.maverickscustommotorsports.com. Check them out today. Great, great sponsor. All right, and we are back after our interview with Coach Crenshaw. John, I am looking forward to a great, great season with IUPUI, our new relationship with the Jags. And Coach Crenshaw, I'm expecting big things. And from what I heard in the interview, he got me excited. Yeah, I know he didn't get that team excited, and that team is long overdue to have some winning ways out there at the fairgrounds.
That's right. It's Indiana, man. Basketball is a little different here from where the Bloomington, West Lafayette, or even Circle City. So, yeah, IUPUI Jaguars.
Perfect. All right. Let's see. John, I've talked to a couple of soccer buddies of mine. This big Super League talk that's been going on overseas, all these big franchises decided they wanted to create their own league. That way they can make all the big money themselves, and then now these teams are opting out because now a lot of everybody's pissed off about it. I had to have my big soccer guy today at work explain it to me in elementary school style because it just didn't make sense to me. It looks like from what he's told me that the league is not going to happen. Everybody's going to disband. I know they signed the paperwork, but it's going to disband. And not all the best teams were in it either. Tottenham, John, they are like the Dallas Cowboys, and to put it in NFL terms. They've got the billion-dollar owner. They've got the team that's worth a ton of money, that has a lot of money, but they're not good, and they haven't won. So it didn't make sense for them to be in the league on a playing standpoint if you want to put the super teams in there. The only reason they were in it is because of their money and their owner, which is the equivalent of like a Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones. So this Super League is going to be falling apart. I don't see it happening. A lot of them don't see it happen. But, you know, these little teams, they want their piece of the money just as much as these big guys do too. So it's pretty much like NBA terms, John, is that they create a postseason and the Lakers, the Celtics, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Miami Heat, the Bulls, all the big teams, they all can compete for a championship and the money from it. The Pacers and whatnot, they're left out. That's kind of the equivalent of what this league would have been.
Yeah, man, and I don't know if you're, I don't know if your friends playing to you, man. There's still a lot of little hurt feelings about all this too.
Yeah.
Just because of contracts and just because soccer is a temperamental sport. People's emotions are, I mean, all sports kind of got tied to emotions, but like seemingly sometimes with the international football, the people can't, you know, saying they can't cut off like when it's time to like chill out. So it's going to be a lot, still a lot of hurt feelings. I know there's going to be some, I heard even like litigation kind of talk about with some of the teams to try to break away, they try to break away from FIBA. It's not going to be a mess or even messy. And what I'm trying to say is like, they're going to have their league, right. You know what I'm saying? Get specifics kicked back in, but it's kind of going to, it's going to add to some rivalries, people like, you know, fan rivalries and team rivalries. But like I said, there's probably going to be some litigation around going further. It's that, like I said, I listened to an announcer talk about it, of a guy from the Indy here talk about it. He said, man, it's probably going to be. He said it's not over. There's literally going to be litigation, like why they tried to break away when they have like a basically like an ironclad contract to work in this league that they're kind of already in. So. Yep. It's funny that you said when you almost had a little slip up, said schools, man. This is what I hope no American organization, whether it be in the NCAA or NBA or NFL, kind of gets this idea. But this is kind of like what I think some schools are kind of fearful of, like a super conference. You know what I'm saying? Where a big teams like Texas or Alabama and Florida would leave their prospective conference and kind of, you know what I'm saying, meld into their own conference and say, the heck, we're playing anybody else. We kind of start our own little thing. So I don't know, man. I thought it was, I'm not a big soccer fan for the drama of it. I was for a hot 10 minutes today.
Okay. And that's our talking soccer. Let's get in. All right, John, you know that sound. We're 1 week away from tonight, the NFL draft. Teams are on the clock, and I haven't even really started my draft prep yet. I ain't going to lie. I haven't started it yet. I'll probably start it over the weekend, but Indianapolis, 21st pick. I think it's 21st, right, or 24th?
It's 21.
All signs now looking at John Wright, it has to be a left tackle. It just has to be.
The way Jim Mersey was talking on our friend of the program, JMB show, just yesterday, man, they kind of might be thinking about moving some guys around, or even using some of the depth they've made in free agency over the summertime, over the springtime, and bringing in that, what we thought was going to be backup offensive lineman, it kind of like starting them for whatever reason, man. I think Let's just say at 21. I don't think Quiddy Payne is there at 21. The defensive back, the edge rusher from Michigan. Nor do I think the linebacker, Micah Parsons from Penn State, is there at 21. But for argument's sake, if they are, just in case they might fall, I think the Colts might take a hard look at using pick 21. This is the Colts are a defensive team. We kind of agree upon this. They do have a need at left tackle for elite level, right? And you feel like you can only get elite level left production from the first round, right? But if they can get an edge rusher to help with that defense, to help, you know what I'm saying, to help get to the quarterback, which is something of a that I believe the Colts were kind of average at. I'll say above average, but not excellent at last year. I think they might look at it and take a defensive back right there. But this draft is not necessarily great in defensive tackles. You know what I'm saying? I would say this draft is obviously, you know what I'm saying, very, very great, very rich in offensive linemen and offensive tackles for sure. There is some guys at the corner position and safety position that the Colts might look at, whether it's Jamar Johnson out of Indiana or even Trevon Moore from TCU. Those are probably the top two safeties in this particular draft. You can kind of get, you know, similar. You can kind of get, as far as the blitz is concerned, you can get some production. You can get some of that production that you would get from an edge rusher from the safety position. But I think the Colts just kind of play it safe, and they'll pick an offensive lineman at 21. But like I said, some of those names kind of fall. Because Quiddy Pay is kind of, he's kind of slotted to kind of fall somewhere between New England and the Vikings, and I think they pick in the teams, I do believe, but who knows? We know New England needs a quarterback. They might, so they might move up. The Vikings kind of, if you squint, they might feel like they need a quarterback, so they might do a deal and kind of move up. And if they do move up, then that means some guys are going to come crashing and falling down. You know, so not necessarily because they stink or they're poor players. It's just because, you know, saying a team made a move and wanted to get in front of the future rather than later. You know what I'm saying? So, but I, like I said, I think the Colts take an offensive lineman. If you twist my arm, I kind of like the kids from, you know what I'm saying, I can't remember his name right now, shame on me. I got a sports show and I can't remember the guy. I kind of like the kid from Notre Dame. But if you twist my arm, I think they take Trevor Jenkins out of Oklahoma State at 21. Big guy, you know what I'm saying, to protect my guy's, you know what I'm saying, left side for sure.
Okay. Mike Tomlin signs a 3-year extension with the Steelers. I was okay with it. Where else are you going to go? The man's won. He's number 5, 6, or 7 right now with his wins right now. No-brainer for me.
Yeah, I think we talked about it a couple of episodes, several episodes ago, man. It was like a hands-down type of thing. There's nobody in the coaching world, in the college world, that I can see. I don't think Mike Tomlin's going to get fired anytime soon, but let's say they had a partner of the ways. There's nobody in the college world, I think, that the Steelers would be kind of like looking at to bring in. There might be somebody within in their own organization that they might want to move up. But, like, no, man, Mike Tomlin, he deserved it. He deserved it, and he got it. But here's the thing, Brandon. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, man. You know that division's gotten better. It got better, you know what I'm saying, when the Cleveland Browns believed that they could beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and they were like a couple plays away from winning, you know what I'm saying? So still the Bengals are still the Bengals. They're still a development team, so there's no really cause of concern, at least from the Steelers side, from that team, right? But but Brandon, I say that the Pittsburgh Steelers have a cause for concern of being dominant in that division, but, like, man, you talk about Tomlin getting signed. They haven't given our guy Lamar his extension yet. Now, have they?
They have not. Is it due already?
I mean,
he still had some time.
He was due. He's kind of looking. No, he came in the same time with Patty Mahomes, right? Or no? Or did he come in? I thought he did. I thought they were in the same draft.
Well, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, if they're in the same draft, and Patty Mahomes just got $500 million, right? But if they're not in the same draft, I think they might be a year apart. Still, I think he's due an extension, and I think he was looking for not a $500 million, but I think he was looking somewhere a little bit north of what our guy down in Dallas was making. I think he's due an extension. I do believe for sure.
Last thing I've got on my list, John. Or two things, excuse me. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Indy 500's next month. They are expected to have 40% attendance for the greatest spectacle in racing in May. So we will have fans here for the Indy 500. So I'm excited to have that next month. Last thing I have, Major League Baseball, John, it's still early. You can't get a good feel on the teams besides the Dodgers right now, who are like 13-4.
Right.
My Reds are killing me, but you can't really put much stock into it right now. Just kind of how early we are, but the NCAA transfer portal, there's some issues there. The Iowa and their compliance team is crying wah wah because they had a player now that's leaving and going to Kentucky. And apparently he talked back in February that he was going to go to Kentucky, and they think there's tampering going on with the transfer portal with logins and passwords. Just a big, big mess, it seems like, with this transfer portal right now. And they're allowing them to transfer without a penalty, which is long overdue, I believe.
Right. I know we folks kind of go back and forth and say how schools are exploiting kids and not they're not getting paid exactly what they should get for the labor and for what they bring in. But, like, man, this transfer portal thing, it's hard for a coach to prepare for the next season or to develop his team over in workouts and whatnot over the course of the summer and springtime when what you're saying, because it is tampering. There's no way that it's not tampering. There's no way that people aren't talking. The NCAA, in good faith, allowed because of the COVID, allowed an extra year for players to play, for seniors to play an extra year. You know what I'm saying? So usually a guy, it's not like they kick them to the curb or anything like that and say, you say, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. But, you know, usually when a kid, you know, after he plays 4 years, he's done. Right? Unless he redshirted, he's done, right? You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, because of the situation being what it is, and, you know, you didn't get a full season out or even a real season. I'm not going to say a real season. Even a season where you could really concentrate on your craft, right? The NCAA allowed another year to be, you know what I'm saying? But, like, we got Joey Brunk, man. How many Midwestern teams is going to play for? You know what I'm saying? He went from Butler to IU to Ohio State. So I don't know, Brandon, man. Me personally, man, I think some guys think that they can go to other schools and have better success somehow because Kentucky's on their back or Ohio State's on their back. Dude, you still had the same skill set that you had at, I'm going to pick on Brunk, at IU or whomever. You know what
right.
I'm saying? I would be better. I don't think they're trusting their coaches. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think they trust the coach staff that they have in front of them. Or they don't want to – or maybe Brunk probably – some guys just don't want to play for that coach anymore. That's part of it too. You know what I'm saying? But still, it's not like the kid from Iowa is going to go to Kentucky and instantly become a household name. That's not going to happen. He already would have been a household name with the skill set that he had. You know what I'm saying? Coach Cal might be a better coach than what they have in Iowa, but still the SEC is just as competitive, at least the top part of it is, and oh my goodness, who Kentucky plays versus what, you know what I'm saying, he just leveled up. Kentucky they don't have too many cupcakes, you know what I'm saying? I know I give them a hard time, but they don't really have too many cupcakes in their preseason at all, you know what I mean? So I don't think guys are really evaluating. They're not listening to their coaches, whether it be the assistant or the head coach or any other team scout, evaluating their own talent, you know what I'm saying? I would also rather have a guy do just turn pro and let the NBA tell you what you can and can't do and if they think you can be a second round or first round or a lottery pick and then go that route. Yeah, and don't hire an agent and then try to come back to a school. Then all this, let me see what I can do over here. You know what I'm saying? Because the transfer portal has over 1,000 kids in it, man. And, you know, our guy from Ball State, shame on me for forgetting his name, but I'm going to forget his name now because he ain't an
offensive.
No, Coleman. Coleman left, and he's going to Missouri to think again. So, again, I get it. At one point, he was freshman of the year in the MAC. But, like, now you're thinking that the same kind of dominance or the same kind of play you're going to carry over to Missouri? I don't think so. I think now you've just gotten to a bigger pool of bigger sharks. Or just
and KJ.
Say what now?
And KJ Walton as well.
Well, oh my God, KJ Walton, that's in 6 years.
Ball State fan base is happy about that, by the way.
Say what now?
I said the Ball State fan base is not happy about that.
They're not, man, but, like, my goodness, man, he's been there for 6 years, man. Like, you know, he wants to see something else. He wants to see how far he can go somewhere else. Good luck to him. But I think his talent level is what his talent level is.
Yep. By the way, you must have talked the Bucks into something because they've opened up shooting 10 for 10 to start the game tonight. So you must have said something. Just woke them up. I think in the next week or 2 weeks, or whatever, 3 weeks, we need to get our friend of the program, Brandon Brantley, assistant coach at Purdue, try to see if we can get him back on the horn for a show. We can talk a little bit of NBA and kind of recap the Boilermakers season that they just had. I think the fan base of Crossroads would like to get Coach Brantley back on here.
We'll try, man. We'll just try not to talk about that first round early exit from the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, we'll see what we can conjure.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm still reeling from that. What else do you have, my guy? You have anything on your list I haven't hit tonight? I know it's kind of a slower show, but we got that 20-minute interview that's going to be added into the show. So what else do you got?
Really nothing, man. I know we kind of touched base with kind of everything, man. I wouldn't hang my head too much on the Reds, man. This is the Major League Baseball has kind of fine-tuned its rules to you know what I'm saying, accentuate the hitter, and the Reds are still leading the league. I do their second now in slugging percentage, man. I know the Brewers kind of took over the first place, but man, look who's behind. Do you really trust the Cubs? Do you really trust the Pittsburgh Pirates? There's no way you can. So I think I wouldn't hang my head too much on the Reds. I think they make if they don't retake the lead over the Brewers, I think they make the you know what I'm saying, they'll make the playoffs. They will. They should.
Okay. All right. Before we go, John, I've got one thing. I'm going to try to do it with something different every week.
Uh-oh.
Listeners we've got. You can submit this to me or actually, you can submit this to Crossroads Sports either on Twitter, on the Facebook page, a direct message on Instagram, a direct message on Facebook, a direct message on Twitter, you name it. Tonight, available, is this Crossroads Sports face mask. Nice face mask right here. To the person who sends me the correct answer first, I will ship this to you as a gift, Crossroads Sports face mask. The question tonight is, who is or who was the number one pick overall in the 1982 NBA draft? The first person, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, to message us, who's the number one pick in 1982 NBA draft, we'll get this Crossroads Sports face mask. John, so
Brent, can I email?
You cannot do it. No, sir, you cannot do it because I know you know the answer too. So I will do a different trivia question each week. You can look it up or whatever. Just hope you get it sent to me first. All right. Well, we want to thank our guest, Matt Crenshaw. We had call in for a great, great interview with John. I wish I could have been there, but listen to it. Great interview. Listen, that'll be on the iTunes. Also, shout out Fred Feldner, friend of the program, calling in this evening. Great conversation. We're back every week again. So next week, another great show we're going to have next week. John, I'll let you wrap us up, my man.
The only thing I got to wrap is, man, thanks to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. Thanks to our other sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Make sure you click the links. Support us, support those who support us. And I take a look and see, they might have some things that you want to spend your stimulus and your tax money on, for sure, man, for sure, whether it's insurance or something for the car. Outside of that, man, great show again. Welcome back, Brandon Reeve. He didn't even tell us what he golfed this past week, man. So I'm sure we'll try to work that in for next week, man. Outside of that, man, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.